Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Chatting with Sherry. Today, I'm really excited because we're going to have the entire cast of A Widgy Night and the playwright for Sherry's Playhouse. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to start with our playwright. Her name is Mary D. Brooks. She's also an author. She's written several series of books and graphic novels, and she has her own website, and she's very, very popular. Hi, Mary.
G'day.
Why don't you tell a little bit about how the play came about? Well, I know how it came about, but tell the audience a little bit how the play came about and what the origin is, and, you know, a little bit so they have an idea of what we're going to be doing.
Well, A Widgy Night is based on the novels, in particular between novel 2 and 3, and it's Eva and Zoe, and it's a snapshot of their lives in the 1950s, where basically sexual harassment in the workplace was commonplace, and most people's business couldn't fight back. Because of they could lose their job and so forth. So that's the premise of the whole show, is that what does one have to do in order to defend themselves against such advances? And I based that on the time period, and the characters of Eva and Zoe are so different, and so. In different in attitudes and different in how they take on matters and deal with things. And Zoe isn't one to take a backward step about anything. But in this case, she has to because she doesn't want to lose her job. So, and that's where we start that whole, the whole story is what would Eva do to defend Zoe? And it's a quite interesting story.
And it's really fun, too. It's got humor,
it's
drama.
There's humor in there. Yeah, there's humor in there. I like to always put a little bit of humor, a little bit of drama in anything I write, because you can't have intensity all the time, because that would just tire you out. But for you as the reader and for me, the writer. So I need some humor in there as well.
Yeah, it's the only way to survive. I'm going to introduce the cast, and let them tell a little bit about their character. Why don't we start with Eva? Janae, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I'm originally from Portland, Oregon, but I live in San Diego. I was in the Navy. That's how I ended up in San Diego. I have a degree in theater from Southwest College. I'm very active in the convention circuit for science fiction and fantasy conventions, which is how I met Sherry,
yes.
and ended up auditioning for this. I also am a writer. I have one published story in Sci-Fi Journal. It is a short science fiction piece called The Trade Zone. So basically that's me in a nutshell, as far as this goes. I guess about Eva now, the character?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Eva is determined to defend Zoe against what she sees as an injustice. Evidently, she's a little more comfortable with playing the fake boyfriend game than Zoe is, and she's... She seems to be, you know, pretty easygoing person, except for where with Zoe is concerned, and the attacks on Zoe. She's very upset about that and very determined to do it herself. She'll accept help in getting there to defending Zoe, but not the actual defending. So she's willing to enlist help to get her goal of defending her love. But, you know, she is determined, very determined, to defend Zoe against Fletcher.
Perfect. Okay. Tanya, why don't you introduce yourself and your character, which is Zoe.
Hi, my name is Tanya Carr. I have been in every single performance of Sherry's Playhouse in some form, which has been absolutely wonderful, and I have loved every single one of them. This character of Zoe is she's so beautiful. She has such a beautiful spirit. She has been through hell, and although she still sees that hell in a different form now, she still stays so positive and so uplifting and to those people around her, and she's so outgoing, and she's just a fun part to play. I absolutely adore her.
That's beautiful. I think Mary must really appreciate those descriptions of her characters, don't you?
Actually, I'm listening to this and going, oh, wow, these are cool characters.
That's funny. I love it.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun writing Zoe. She's super cool. A lot more difficult writing Eva because she's so quiet. But
Zoe's not quiet. But Zoe's not quiet. But she's
Zoe can't spell the word quiet.
She doesn't know the definition.
No, absolutely not. No.
I find a little bit of me in that aspect of Zoe, so.
That's why it was good casting.
You get to know a lot more about Zoe than Eva, and I think in this place you get to know more about Eva in how she does things.
The next person I want to introduce is Junior. I want him to introduce himself, but he gets to play both a good guy and a bad guy, so he's got a nice diversity here. Hi, Junior. Go ahead.
Hi, yeah, it's been fun. Hello, my name is Junior. From the UK, to be honest. Born and bred here. I'm a school teacher by trade, and I'm like Peter Pan, never grown up. Anyway, that's another story. So I play... Patrick, who is the Australian, and I also play Fletch the Lech. I've been told that I do the part really well, so yeah, I'll take that as a compliment. But it's fun playing both ends of the spectrum. First time from memory I've ever played a Lech, and yeah, it's fun. I think it's quite good to, you know, be really smarmy and stuff. And I don't know, everyone seems to like it. So there you go. And on to Patrick. I mean, Patrick's just the complete opposite. Really nice guy. Just enjoys his part. A bit confused. I think he's a bit confused by the way the ladies are treating him as well. But yeah, it's fun. I like it. I think it's my first double role, actually.
Yes, it is. Well, no, you played a double row in the Henry play, too.
Oh, yes, I did, yeah.
Remember?
I can't remember what accents I did in that one, if they were straightforward. But anyway, yeah, both were fun. So.
Yeah, but you have two different accents in this. Well, not really,
yes,
but just sort of.
Yeah, somewhere along the line.
Okay, so now I'd like Ray to tell a little bit about his characters.
Well, I play Henry Franz. Franz, actually, is German. During the war, he had been in the resistance. He had been actually had met Eva and Zoe during the war and had worked with them in the activities that they did for the resistance. He's straightforward as a he looks at both of the women as he's the protector, or he wants to be the protector, even though he knows that at one time they protect him. The line that he indicates that he was so happy that they had found each other, because he wouldn't be there if they hadn't. He's
very
pretty
sweet.
Straightforward. He does have a bit of a anger issue over people taking advantage of his girls, so to speak. But he listens to reason. I also play Mr. Palamo, and that's an altogether different one, different accent, because it's an Englishman who's actually just a minor walkthrough. I'm not sure if I get anything else I can say about them.
Why don't you tell a little bit about yourself, Ray?
Well, I am a native Kansan. I've been doing this for about 9 months, the radio side of it, but I've been in the acting business, acting for several decades. I'll leave it at that. But that was not my main interest. I raised a family, and my daughter has done some directing. My son is in video. But I embrace all forms of the arts, and I love doing it. I've retired about 4 years ago, and I've never been happier doing what I love.
That's beautiful. And he's wonderful, by the way. Okay. Next up will be Jessica. She's our narrator, and she plays Alice.
Hello. So I'm Jessica. I act, I model, I cosplay. That's how I make my living. Most people know me from my cosplay of Xena Warrior Princess. I'm a published playwright. I have my degree in theater from the University of Maryland, and I live in Maryland. So I didn't go far. I went really far. My characters are the narrator, so I'm in charge of making sure everybody knows what's going on. And Alice, who is, they call her Invisible Alice. She's kind of a shy wallflower. But she likes talking to Zoe, so her and Zoe have some banter every now and again. I think that's pretty much all I can tell you about my character.
Okay. All right. Wendy, you, like me, have a cast of characters. Why don't you introduce yourself and a bit about the parts you're going to play?
Okay. Hi, I'm Wendy. I am part of the Kansas crew. I have been doing and love being on stage theater since kindergarten. I did a lot of pageants growing up. I would write little plays for all of my girlfriends and classmates and scout troops. And so this is not surprising that I am just jump in head first and love doing it all. My two characters that I play, the first one is Elena Jacobs. She is a friend of Zoe's. She's getting to know everybody. She's very timid still after being in the Bergen-Belsen prison, very on edge with most of everything. And I don't think she knows quite how to take exactly what's going on, but she has a little one and wants to share that baby with everybody. My other character is Auntie Adela, and she just loves her nephew Patty, and is beginning to get to know his friend, Zoe. So it could be quite interesting if I knew the rest of the story.
Okay.
I have a feeling Auntie Adela is going to find out that, Zoe is not quite Patrick's type.
That's very true. But she thinks he is.
And oh, she loves her. She's wonderful.
I guess that leaves me. I'm Sherry. This is my little troupe. And I basically begged and pleaded Mary to write a play based on her characters. And after a lot of begging and pleading, she finally did. I don't think she's that sorry, are you, Mary?
No. No.
Well,
this
is Ray, and go ahead, Sherry. I'm interrupting.
No, what were you going to say, Ray? It's fine.
I was going to say, Mary, this is a terrific piece because it addresses several aspects of what's happening in the American society, the sexual harassment, the other aspects of gender recognition, of actually sexual orientation. And it has to be brought out. And this is a wonderful piece that does this.
Thank you.
No,
and
I'm sorry,
beautifully.
Sherry. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it does seem to be an ongoing issue. Whether it's 1950s Australia or it's the 21st century, the problem hasn't gone away and it's not going to go away until we actually do something concrete about it. And I think educating people about domestic violence and sexual harassment and all that has to be done. But that's going into more political than anything else, but it just seems to be a common problem down to the decades, and it hasn't stopped.
Absolutely, and as we see today, it simmers lower. It's not as overt as it used to be, but it's still there. It's still horrible. It's still strong.
The only difference is the people are now out. More people are actually out and visible than they used to be because they're not. More people are not hiding anymore like they used to.
There is more acceptance by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't there.
It
is an issue that will, unfortunately, will never completely go away.
I think it'll take a few generations. I think it'll eventually go away as we mature and as it becomes more and as the younger generations come up with more acceptance. Those that don't accept it will become lesser and lesser of the population, actually. It's just a slow change. It's a slow change.
The problem is that if you have people saying, oh, just go and get another job, if you get sexually harassed, what if you can't get another job? In the assistance, if we take Zoe for an example, she doesn't want another job. She doesn't want to leave. So it's a case of this is her dream job. So is she going to get continually harassed until she actually does leave? Or does she do something else? So it's a catch-22. She loses, if she speaks up, she loses. If she leaves, she loses.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually came up in the presidential election. The
That's
person who shall not be named actually gave the standard male chauvinist answer about it, and caused a little bit of an uproar there.
I was just going to say that if the woman doesn't like being harassed, then she can go and get another job. That's what is being touted today, right?
Yeah, that's what you said. Jerk.
It's not that
I was actually in the Navy when Pale Hook happened, and the attitudes that changed back when I was in, and all of a sudden when sexual harassment became a zero tolerance policy back in the very early 90s, and nobody knew how to deal with it. It's like we went from one extreme to the other, to where it was so easy for somebody to accuse somebody that some men were being accused when someone had the power, which is why part of this is a hard thing to actually change, because once if you don't allow for a proper procedure to even go after these people, then it can be abused the opposite direction, and some people will, and that's part of the reason it's changing so slowly, is because sometimes people get unfairly accused, and since it's zero policy, if a lot of times the accusation is believed without any proof. And so it's a very slow changing thing in society because of that. And it's unfortunate that people take advantage of it the opposite direction while we're trying to get rid of it by unfairly accusing people. And it just makes a bigger mess of trying to stop an injustice in the first place.
Yes.
I know. What were you going to say, Ray?
I was just going to say that any society that actually prevents or shuts off another segment of that society is not creating a better society. They are creating a liability. And I use the example here in America that any racist who complains about race and yet is eating a peanut butter sandwich had darn well better understand where that came from. George Washington.
True,
Carver,
you're right. That's why I'm
and,
laughing. It's so honest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the same way with sexual orientation. It's the same way with the fact that being Jewish. As so many different segments of society have put down other segments, that we've lost so much because of that.
Yeah. That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have nothing more to say on that.
It's okay. I don't really have that much time to talk about my stuff, so I think I'll skip me. That's a good way to get out of it, right?
I apologize.
Oh, no, Ray. I'm kidding. I'm just saying that. Well, I have three characters. One of them is a part of Mrs. Oliver, who is a boss lady. I have another part, which is Dana Fletcher. I'm the wife of the Lech. And with my dear Junior that plays the horrible Fletcher, and I play his snobby wife. The third part is a Mrs. Wiggins, which is a delightful character who loves and adores Eva. And again, just like Wendy said, she has no idea that her son and Eva are putting up a front. Okay, that's me.
They're very good at putting up a front. They're very good at it.
Yes.
They
Very, very good.
Well,
very
only he is, right? Because I just go along with it.
According to Mary's script.
Like, no, he always leaves, yes. According to the script, I just go along with it really well.
Yes. Eva goes along with it, even if she really, really, really hates it.
I'm happy to see Patrick.
Sorry?
What was that?
I said, I think we're just happy to see Patrick with someone. I think we've kind of...
Kept trying
to match there.
Yeah. Earl and Patrick together are right. But in those days, they had to do that. They had to, because Earl is a teacher. So he has no choice. He has to have a companion that functions and stuff like that. So they had to hide who they really were. And they could be sacked and worse if they were found out. So they were walking a very, very thin tightrope. So... they couldn't make a mistake. And if they did, it would be the end of their career.
Yeah.
Especially then.
Yeah,
I
love
it. I granted today that you could come out. I'm not, I'm straight, but I could relate to this because it's a case of hiding who you really are and then for the benefit of not having people judge you. And judging you today is very different from judging, say, somebody in the 1950s, which can be catastrophic. Today, this can also be that way. But it doesn't have the same impact that it had back in the 1950s. Now, I could be talking out of my hat about this because I haven't experienced it today. And the rates of abuse against gay people could be just the same as the 1950s. But in the 1950s, it was 100% deadly. That it can have a different outcome to what it is today.
Yeah.
And the fact that you had to have a pretend boyfriend or a pretend girlfriend in order to fit into a society that was intolerant and just prejudiced at no end. So it was a very dangerous situation.
It was.
The idea of like,
a lot of marriages of convenience back then, just so people didn't appear that way.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So even though
very
it's funny
famous
at
one.
This point, then,
mm-hmm.
yes, it's just a fact of life back then. You have to have
it. I think. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
I hate to interrupt this lively conversation, but we're actually coming to the end of the show.
That was fast.
It goes very, very fast. It's been a half hour, so thank you. I want everybody who's interested to know that the play will be on August 21st. It'll be at 8 p.m. It's live, but you can, if you can't make that time, you can listen to the archive, which will be ready about an hour later. And, of course, please pay attention to my website and my blogs. I will keep you up to date on everything. And please, please buy Mary's stuff because she's a brilliant writer.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're
anyway,
mouth,
nice plug there. I wanted to thank everybody for taking part in the interview.
Thank you, Sherry, for having us.
And
thank
you. On another show.
It was very
thank
painless.
And thank you for chatting
you.
With Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.